Man, thank you. You may be seated. Hey, we are so glad that you are here today. My name is Rick. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're kicking off a brand new teaching series that I'm very excited about. This whole idea for this teaching series came from a book that I was listening to and reading through called Goliath Must Fall by Louis Giglio. He's a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, of all places, but he is an Italian, right? So that will resonate with some of you guys, right? He's in a, some people are raising their arms. I'm not Italian, not at all, you know. But I encourage you, can pick it up at Amazon.com, pick up your own copy. It will be helpful for you as we talk about this reality. The reality is that we all face giants of some type in our life. And it doesn't matter the age that you are. You can be in third grade. There's going to be a giant that you have to face when you get up and have to go to school. There's going to be a giant. If you're in middle school, you're going to face giants in your life. If you are in high school, if you're college age, if you are single adult, there are giants in your life. In fact, for some of you, the whole idea of singleness is a giant to you. And so this is helpful. If you're married and have kids, or married and don't have kids, if you're empty nesters, or if you're grandpa and grandma, this series will apply to you, because we all face different types of giants throughout our life. And here's what I want us to hold on to. Here's what I want us to really wrestle with and come to the terms of understanding. And that is, if you are a Christ follower in here, this is important. If you are a Christ follower, and here's why this is important. I'm going to ask Justin to get my remote, because I totally forgot my remote. So I'm not going to be forward doing any slides. But while he's getting that remote for me, here's what I want us to grab a hold of and understand. That for Christ followers, in this verse that we're going to read from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. And if you are a Christ follower, here's what it says. It's this idea that you are a new person in Christ. If you belong to Christ, thank you. If you belong to Christ, let's just get it right. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. What happens to us is that we buy in that we don't think we can get the victory over this giant that's in our life, because we've been battling it since we've been in third grade. Or maybe you've been battling this giant since you've been a teenager. You know, you've been 16 and now you're 46. And this same giant continues. And finally, you have given up, because you have bought into this idea that, hey, this is just the way I was raised. You know, this is what I saw my mom and dad. This is how if it's a relationship giant in your life, this is how I saw my mom and dad treat each other. And so I just can't break that habit. No, what God says is that you become a new person if you're a Christ follower. Now, let me very quickly make sure that we all understand on the same page what I mean by Christ follower. Christ follower means that you have transferred your faith from whatever religious system that you are putting your faith into. Let me explain what I mean by religious system. A lot of religious systems think that if I put my faith and my trust in being a good enough person, if I just help enough people, if I just give enough money to the church or to different charities, if I just help enough people who are in need, then God will accept me. And that's what you maybe have put your faith into. And what I'm saying is that for Christ followers, they have transferred that faith, and they have transferred it over to Jesus. And I'm pointing over here because it's the cross. This cross this cross is the symbol of what it means to be a Christ follower, because it is that you have transferred your faith from whatever system you put it into, and you put it into Jesus, believing that He really did leave heaven. He came to earth, and for 33 years, He modeled to us what it means or what it looks like to be a follower of His, and then laid down His life 33 and a half years into that, willingly went to the cross, willingly allowed Himself to be tortured. He did that because somebody had to pay for Rick Moore's sin. Somebody had to pay for your sin. And He willingly took that upon Himself. And there on that cross, for the first time ever he was willing to be separated from God his Father. From all exists, from all time. For the very first time he was separated because he was taken my guilt. He was taken your guilt. He was taken my shame. He was taken your shame upon the cross. But the story didn't end there, right? We all know that on the third day, he had the power to come back. He had the power over death. And then now what he does is he offers that to all people. This is a free gift offered to all people. And all we have to do is transfer whatever we put our faith into and put it into what Jesus did upon the cross. This is the start of that. And because of that, we are this new person. We're a new creation, and we do not have to be bound by whatever system you grew up in. Some of us in here think because I'm Irish, I'm Irish, and because I have red hair, I'm always going to fly off the handle. I'm always going to have a problem with my temper. But no, that's not right either. Here's what Paul said. The Apostle Paul said this: don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Do you know that neuroscience tells us that it is possible for us to our brain to remap itself in the way that it actually thinks. See, the Bible was saying that a long time before science discovered it, and then science discovers this, and there's been all types of research done into how do we do that? Well, the Scripture says if we let God transform us into thinking the way that He wants us to think, how do we do that? It is by His Word. It is by getting into God's Word and meditating upon this and putting it in here and asking God, change my view, change the way, change that mold, the way I grew up, change my temper. God, I can't do this on myself, but He can. And so this is so applicable. But here's what happens. So many of us get stuck, and for years, it's like this giant has choked the joy of life out of us. Whatever the giant is that you're facing, it's choked the joy of life out of us. And here again, the Apostle Paul says, so now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. Those of you who have transferred your faith from whatever system it was in and you put it into Jesus, that's who it's talking to. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So we can, in Jesus, have this victory that will overpower whatever giant is in you. And that's why we're talking about giants. Now, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about some very specific giants. But your giant, we may not talk specifically about the giant that you face. But here's what I hope that you will learn, is that from the Scriptures, that you will pick up some biblical principles that will help you overcome and defeat the giant that you're facing. Now, to do this, our hub, the story that we'll always go back to, is we want to start looking at the life of David before he was king. So, the setting here is that King Saul, he's the first king ever over Israel. He is over Israel, but what a lot of people don't know in his time is that David secretly was anointed to become the next king. He's a teenager. Any teenagers in the house this morning? Because he is your age. Teenagers, I'm telling you, God was calling teenagers to commit their life to Him and to follow Him. That's what He's doing. He wants you to follow Him while you're young. God has no age limits. There's no height barriers. It does not matter how young you are. It's all about just will you submit yourself to Him. And this is what we see in David. Now, David is everybody. Even if you don't go to church, if you don't normally go to church, even you know about the story of David and Goliath, right? You can talk about David and Goliath in your workplace, and people who have never even stepped into a church, they're like, oh yeah, I know that story about David and Goliath. Well, Goliath is a Philistine, and the Philistines have forever been like the arch emesis of the people of Israel. It's like Batman and the Joker, you know? It's like that's who the Philistines are. They're like that Joker in their life, and they just won't leave them alone. In fact, Samuel writes to us in 1 Samuel chapter 4. You can read this, 1 Samuel chapter 4 through chapter 6. You'll see this battle that they got into. And And the Philistines actually wiped out 30,000 Philistines in this battle. And they captured the Ark of the Covenant. Remember how important the Ark of the Covenant was to the people of God? It was like, that was, it was symbolic of His presence. This was the Holy of, I mean, it was like you couldn't even touch this thing. Somehow the Philistines capture it, take it back to their place. So that's who the Philistines are. Now, finally, the story comes to this climax, and here's the climax. The Philistines and the Israelites face each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. They're in the Valley of Elah. In fact, here's a modern-day picture. Here's what kind of looks like. Here's where the Philistines are. Here's where Saul is camped. And then there's this valley that runs through here, the Valley of Elah. So that's where they are, and here's what's happening. Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel, and he was over 9 feet tall. The Bible goes on to describe all these things in great detail about who Goliath was, about his helmet. He had like this ginormous helmet that he would wear. He had this spear where the head, just the head of his spear was like 15 pounds, the Bible tells us. And then it talks about this armor that he wore, this coat of mail that he wore. It weighed as much as 2 fifth graders. I mean, it was 125 pounds, so it's like having 2 fifth graders hanging on you. That's how heavy this thing was. And as it goes on, but here's what's important to see. Look what happens. He says, I defy the armies of Israel today. This is what this Goliath guy is doing. He's defying the armies of Israel, and he challenges them. He says, send me a man who will fight me. And notice this, because this always happens to us. We see ourselves in the story. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Man, that is just so true about whatever giant it is in your life and in my life. It terrifies us. We get shaken about whatever this is. Well, the story goes on because this is what happens in your life and my life. Goliath, for 40 days, every morning, every evening, he comes back and he taunts them. He struts his stuff in front of them, just, you know, calling them like, let's go, let's fight, you know, whatever. He's just calling them out. And this happened 40 days and 40 nights, every morning and every night. And I wonder about you. I wonder about your giant. Doesn't it seem like our giants just show up all the time? They show up in the morning when we get up, we look in that mirror, and there's that giant. We go to work, and there's the giant. And it's 40. If for some of you in here, you're like, dude, I wish it was only 40 days. It's been 40 weeks. Some of you are like, it's been 40 months. Some of you in here, it's been 40 years. Why? Because this is what giants do. They continue to show up. Now, here's what happens. David isn't even around here right now. David is still at home, but David's dad says, hey, go check on your brothers and take some supplies and report back to me how the fight's going. How's the war going? And so that's what he does. David shows up, and as David was talking, that's the he, as he was talking with them, all the Israelite soldiers, because now he ran out to the forefront of this fight. Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks, and then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. So David is like, he's hearing this taunt. He's like hearing Goliath, you know, call them to fight. And as soon as the Israelites' army saw this, they began to run away in fright. Again, because that's what we do when we have these giants that pop up in our life. And they start almost worshiping the giant. Because why? This is what we do sometimes. They're like, have you seen the giant? All we do is talk about this giant that's in our life, and we get more depressed as we talk about this giant. And it's almost like we're worshiping this giant because we're stuck in this rut. And he and now they go on to say he comes out each day to defy us. Well, David is like, this has got to stop. And so he goes back, short story is, he goes back to Saul, and he has this conversation with Saul, and he tries to give them a resume, and here's his resume. He's like, now he's before King Saul, and he says, I have done this to both lions and bears. I've done what? Man, he has wiped them out. He's defeated them. He's taken them out of the game. And he says, I'll do this to this, I think this is important, to this pagan Philistine, because he doesn't see a champion. What he sees is somebody who's defying God, because he says, for he has defied the armies of the living God. To him, he understands the giant is bigger than himself. He understands that when giants get a hold of us, it's pointing back to God the Father. When giants paralyze us, when giants freeze us in our tracks, we understand that this is really a mirroring back to our God. And who is our God? Well, here's what David says. David says, he finally gets permission and he goes, let's go. We're going to go for it. So here's David, Goliath, right? And here's David's so small you can't even see him over here because that's what it looked like. So here, David picks up 5 smooth stones. Some people say they think that he grabbed 5 stones because he knew that Goliath had 4 brothers. And, you know, if you take one brother out, you better be ready to take out all the brothers, right? Especially if you're Italian. But it goes on. And he put them in his shepherd's bag and then armed only with the shepherd's staff and his sling, and he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Now here's Goliath. As Goliath walks towards David, Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy faced boy. Again, teenagers, I hope that you pick up on that. You know, other people will look at you and say, you're just a kid. But God looks at you and he says, no, you're the one who can take down the giant in your school. You're the one who can take down the giant in your neighborhood. And now he says, am I a dog? This is like an ultimate low blow. It's like saying, you're a mama. You know, that's what this is like. He says, am I a dog? He roared out at David that you've come at me with a stick, and he cursed David by the names of his God. And Dagon was one of their gods, and that was one of the gods that they brought that ark into, because this is important, because I'm going to get there in just a second if I can hurry. David replied to the Philistine. Here was his reply. You come to me with sword and spear and javelin. It's basically, you've come to me in your own human strength, right? But notice where David, how David's going to face his giant. I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He knew that it wasn't him who was going to fight this battle. He knew it was God. And how do you know that, Rick? Because he says, today, this is David, he says, today, Goliath, the Lord will conquer you. It's going to be God who takes you out. It may look like me, but it's not going to be me. It's going to be the Lord who takes you out. And then reaching into the shepherd's bag, taking a stone, he hurled with his sling and he hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in. Can you get the picture? He hurls that sling, that stone just like nails him right in the forehead. Goliath stumbles. Just think about physics. You get hit something with something and that's hitting you and you're going to stumble. You would think backwards. But no, Samuel's very, very, very clear. He doesn't stumble backwards. He stumbled and he fell face down. Do you know why I think that Samuel is so clear about this? Because when they took the Ark of the Covenant from the children of Israel and they put it in their temple and they put it before their God, the Dagon God, the Dagon God. Yeah, catch myself swearing up here. Oh no. See what happens when you're trying to hurry? I'm supposed to be done already. I'm trying. I'm supposed to be done. 1 Samuel chapter 6 tells us that in that temple, that pagan temple, that in the morning when they put the Ark of the Covenant there, that Dagon God fell down face first. And it's like no one was there. It wasn't like because the Israelites snuck into the temple and pushed it down. No one did that. It says that you read your Bible. This is so cool. It fell face first. They thought, oh, okay, maybe a wind or something. They put it up. The next day they come back. And do you know what happens? They find that idol fell forward again, the head severed off, his arms are severed off. And then now he's saying, and we know the story, and because of the children, we won't say what really happened, but we all know what happened if you read your story. You need to read the whole story here. We can't read it in front of the children. But he does the same thing that happened to the idol. There was no more head there. And when the Philistines saw this, that their champion was dead, right? They turned and they ran. And this is it. This is what I'm saying to us, to those, all of us. Will you, over the next 6 weeks, take your connection card out And inside your connection card, here's the next steps. This is what I'm asking you to commit to. Will you, over the next 6 weeks, this is all of us, no matter if you're a Christ follower or if you're not, over the next 6 weeks, will you pray and ask God to identify the giants that I need to come face to face with? You know what? Some of you don't even realize that some of the giants that are in your life. Some of you don't even, they're just not on the forefront of your mind. And will you take time asking God, God, will you show me? Will you show me? What if you were so bold you were to ask your spouse? Whoa, you said that'll start an argument. What if you asked your spouse, what do you see in me? What are some giants that you see in me that I need to work through? I'm asking you to commit to that. We want to pray for you as a staff team on Tuesday. On Tuesday, we want to pray for you this. Maybe you're like, dude, I don't need anybody to tell me what my giant is, right? You're like, pray for me, though, because I want to be very intentional about dealing with the giant in my life so that I can live in freedom and rest in the knowledge that Jesus has already defeated the giant. You know why? One reason I appreciate this book so much, that Goliath Falls, because for the first time, I've never seen this before. Louis points out that we're not the David in the story. We're not the David. So many times we want to be the David in the story, but we're not the David in the story. You know who the David is in the story of our giant? It is Jesus. Jesus is the giant. Jesus is the David in our story. It's going to be Him who defeats it. And tonight we could go home and rest peacefully, maybe for the first time in years, if we could really hang on to the truth of that. That there is freedom in Jesus over your giant. But maybe you are here today and you're like, will you pray for me? I have never put my trust and faith in Christ as my Savior. Basically, I'm not a Christ follower. I need to become a new person in Christ so I can start to deal with the giants in my life. If that's where you're at, will you please put your name and your phone number on your connection card so that we can reach out to you, because we want to help you. We have some resources for you, but this is just the beginning. We want to make sure that you understand what does it mean to really be, to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we need you this morning. We need your help. And we are so thankful for Jesus who has given us victory over whatever the giant is in our life. Thank you today for the story of Beth. And God, you've given her the victory over addiction. God, thank you. She realizes that. She went, she did find help. There was help there, but ultimately, Jesus, you're the one who defeated. And so for the first time in her life, she feels free. And God, there are people here that have other giants in their life, and they too could feel free. Will you allow us, show us over these coming weeks how we can live this life of freedom and get the battle over these giants? We need you. We declare our dependence upon you. And Jesus, we're so thankful that you went to that cross. You laid down your life for us. You are truly a God who loves us, and we submit ourselves back to you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,